Praise God for his covenant love. By the way, as opposed to his contractual love, and God's love to us isn't a contract per se. A contract, of course, if you hire a contractor or you work a job and whatever a contract is, a contract, of course, requires the fulfillment of both parties. Otherwise, it's a breach of contract. And then if someone is obligated in the contract to do something for you and they don't, then you don't have to pay them, right? At least you hope not. But with God's love, it's not a contractual love, it's a covenant love, meaning God just purposed to give his love to us, regardless of what we do, whether we deserve it and we don't. Because if it was a contractual love, all of us would breach that contract. It has to be a covenant love that God purposed in his heart to love us no matter what. Even when we yet were in our sins, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, knowing that sadly the majority of people, the majority of sinners will reject him. Yet he died for them just the same. But for those who believe in him, trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior, were born again by the grace and the Spirit of God. If you are here today, I hope that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray that this message would encourage our hearts. And so you have your Bibles. Sometimes, of course, we might feel like we're going through a hard time. Maybe we feel like we're in exile. We're going to be looking at the testimony of Daniel in the Old Testament today. And I hope we can really be encouraged by his example. In fact, the title of the message, The Daniel Challenge. The Daniel Challenge. And, of course, the idea, of course, to be like Daniel, dare to be a Daniel. But the Daniel Challenge. But you have your Bibles. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. We'll start there. Old Testament prophet of Daniel chapter 1. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And then just verse 12. And then we'll go to the Lord for prayer on the message. Daniel chapter 1. And then verse 12. The word of God says, and again this is Daniel speaking, but he says this, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought to be in thy house, Lord, today. Father, we pray that we'll be here in unity to glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to assemble here in his name. And so, Father, he is in our very midst. And so, Father, we are on holy ground, not by our own works or merits, but because of your covenant love to us. And so, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that we've been bought with a price. And so, Father, I thank you. I don't deserve your mercy, your goodness, but Father, I'm so thankful for it. And Father, just bless now the preaching of thy word. Holy Spirit of God, move these lips of clay that I would say what you would have me to say. Hide me behind the cross and minister to our hearts. May the Spirit of God have free reign. Draw us closer to thyself, Lord, and help us to be like Daniel, who is like our Lord. And so we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, of course, we know the story of Daniel. He is a faithful, devout follower of God, a Jewish man, young man, now living in exile in Babylon. Just to draw an illustration, application to us as New Testament believers today, Daniel really can picture the New Testament Christian. If you want to consider Babylon, where he is exiled in, as a foreign world power, pictures, of course, the world that we Christians live in today. The world with all its splendor, all its power, all its temptation, all its influence. You know, and Daniel, even though he was living in exile, he was favored, handpicked by the Babylonian authorities to learn the ways of the Babylonians. And so the Babylonian Empire was very cunning, and they wanted leaders to expand the empire, but also, if you take all the good ones, then your enemies don't have the good ones. And so they wanted to groom the leaders, the young men, to be like Babylonians, to think like a Babylonian, to like what they like, to love what they love, to believe what they believe, to worship what they worship. And so the plan is, they've been doing this. This is kind of their MO, and this is kind of how they roll. And so whenever they would conquer some nations, they would take the best of the best of the next upcoming generation, and they would win their hearts. Okay, they would try to groom them. And so the king, through his servants, would offer to these prisoners the king's meat. and the king's wine. The idea is what the king ate and drank, they got it too. So that's quite a luxury, okay? Think about how a starving prisoner would react to be offered the king's food and drink, and not just a one-time thing, it was for 3 years. It's almost like going to college. So for 3 years, they would be taught the Babylonian way, and what does it say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, applies here, and so they would give them the good food and the good lifestyle, and so think about it, Daniel, he could have his best life ever. I mean, in fact, eating the king's food, he could have a better life being in exile in Babylon than he could ever have being back in Israel, being in Judah before they were captured. But Daniel, instead of going along with what Babylon wanted, instead of going along with perhaps the rest of the exiles, not his friends, he and his friends were, they stood alone, but the rest of everyone else, they might have gone along with it. He takes the Daniel challenge, okay? Daniel challenge, as I'm calling it. And so he wants to be proven for just 10 days on only pulse and water. Pulse is beans and lentils, if you want to say the high-protein fiber diet, okay? But he wanted to be proven, instead of eating the king's steaks, the king's ribeye, the potatoes, the gravy, I'm getting some drool here, but the idea, instead of eating all that's on the king's spread, he'll just have bean and lentils, okay, and just water, for 10 days, and then we'll see how it works out, and then he told the king's, authority, said, well, then we'll see how it goes for 10 days, and then if you're satisfied, then we can do this for the rest of the 3 years, okay, so that was the plan. Now, the application to us as New Testament believers, of course, we aren't in Babylon captivity today. But if we're saved, if you're saved, we are Christians in a sinful world that wants us to be like them. The world wants us to like what the world likes, love what the world loves, believe what the world believes, worship what the world worships. The world wants us to be like them, right? Now, we may not be offered the king's meat and wine, but the world certainly is offering us everything that pleases our flesh and feeds our lust. You can find it out there in the world. Now, we might not need to eat pulse and drink water for 10 days, right, to see what becomes of us. But can I kind of put it out there for us to take the Daniel challenge, to be like Daniel? Not so much his diet here. I mean, you could if you wanted, but I'm talking his lifestyle, okay? May we challenge ourselves to live like Daniel for 10 days. So take the Daniel challenge with me and then see what becomes of our relationship with God. Because he'll transform us. When we talk about, when we sing that song, Dare to be a Daniel, it's very well worded. Not so much dare to do what Daniel does, but dare to be a Daniel. And so the idea is, if I dare to be like Daniel, my life, my relationship with God will be next level. Don't just settle for where I am, where we are. Dare to be a Daniel. In fact, I don't know if I should shade it, I've already started, so I got to. I told the kids, I got this joke. I was going to say, we all need to be like Daniel, unless your brother Daniel, he's already a Daniel. Okay, never mind. That's okay. All I'm saying is, may all of us purpose to be like Daniel, okay, to be a Daniel. Now, we may not be meeting the king of Babylon like Daniel is here, within 3 years. But we will meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sometime. It might be 3 years, might be longer than 3 years, might be less than 3 years. And so are we ready to meet the king? So the Daniel challenge, to be like Daniel for 10 days, it kind of got me thinking here. Why? Why would we want to do this? Why would we want to challenge ourselves to be like Daniel, live like Daniel, do what he does? Well, at the heart of it, the Christian faith, it is a faith of doing, not just hearing. Okay, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We are saved 100%, by anything that we do. Our dead works do not save us. We're saved by the finished works of Jesus Christ on the cross. All of God's people say, amen. Praise God. We have eternal life by his resurrection. All of God's people say, amen. But we serve him once we are saved 100% by our works, our good works, okay? He has ordained us. In fact, in Ephesians 2, And then verse 10, right? We are his, after we are saved, we are his what? Workmanship, right? In other words, we are God's trophy. We are God's masterpiece. We are his craftsmanship. We are his custom build. That God wants us to live a life that is glorifying to him and that only comes by doing good works. You know, how does it say? I know a lot of good works up here, but it's not until I do it does it count, right? And so the life of a man of God, Daniel, is the example here. And you think of just 10 days and think, why 10 days? Because, well, even though we are to live our whole lives for the Lord, at least for myself, sometimes that can seem a bit overwhelming. I go like, wow, I don't know if I can live my whole life the way, you know. And so just take it bite size. Even just 10 days, I go like, okay, now 10 days, Lord willing. Okay, 10 days, if I can pray really hard every day, Lord, I want to give my best for you. I want to live like Daniel just for 10 days. Maybe I can inch over the finish line and kind of slump over like, oh, that was hard. Okay, but at least 10 days, it's at least to me, it's not like a lifetime. But the idea is we do it for 10 days and God will transform us within those 10 days that we'll desire to do another 10 days. And 10 days becomes, I don't know, a month, 3 months, a year, our whole life. And the race that we are to run as Christians, of course, is comprised of, if you want to think of laps, right? So you want to think of a 10 days as a lap, okay? And so the idea, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I want us going to see this. Really just to set the stage, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Speaking about running the race, we take it one lap at a time. So 10 days, if you want to think of that as one lap. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's go to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We'll go back to Daniel for the most part, but I just want to share this thought. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," those are the Old Testament saints in chapter 11. You certainly can plug in. I mean, Daniel's in there because by faith they stopped the mouth of lions, and so he's one of the crowd in the audience cheering us on. "So great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." The idea is now that it's time for us to run the race that is set before us. By the way, let me just read the whole verse first. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," so run and don't quit, "the race that is set before us." Now this race that God has ordained for us to run, has it already been set before us? Yes. It's already there. It's not as though the stadium is being constructed. It's not as though that the path is being, you know, paved. The race is already there. All I need to do is what? Run. It's waiting for me to run, waiting for you to run. Okay, so the race is already set. God has already set. God has already pulled the trigger. The day you got saved, boom, run for the Lord. Now that you're saved, you live for him. And so set before us the race, now we run it. How do we run it? We got to lay aside every weight. Now the weights in and of itself aren't evil. They aren't bad. Okay, these weights here are like training weights. Okay, and so you have athletes. In fact, was it yesterday or the day before? We saw someone jogging by our neighborhood. He had that weighted vest. You know, like, so the little extra weight, so it gets a little bit more of a challenge when it's running. And certainly athletes would put on weights to help build their muscle, build their strength while they are practicing. But when it comes time for the real run, no athlete's going to, you know, handicap themselves by just slowing themselves down with a weight. You don't do that. I mean, you practice with the weights. But when it's time to run, the weights come off, and then you're, all right, now you're jacked, you're good to go. The idea is there are things in our life that aren't inherently bad. The weights aren't bad. You just don't run with it. And so there are certain things in our life that aren't bad. We've got to do it, but don't run with it. In other words, they can entangle you. They can snare you up. They can slow you down. Okay? And so these can be pleasures. Okay, I mean, it's not bad for me to enjoy a hobby, fishing, whatever. I mean, just you know, just some random hobby. But if all I do is that hobby, then all of a sudden I'm not running. So see what I'm saying? So set aside every weight, anything that can slow us down. But not just that, also the sin, every sin. But it's specifically targeting the sin which doth so easily beset us. So we all have easily besetting sins. Now, your easily besetting sin might not be the same as mine, but we all have them, even though we don't like to admit them. For a lot of us guys, it's, you know, it can be short fuse. It could be pornography. It could be whatever, you know, whatever temptation. But the sin that easily besets us, don't commit those sins. Set them aside, along with those weights. Once you get all those off, then you can run for the Lord. Okay, full steam ahead, run the race that is set before us. And so it beckons, and so it got to my mind, well, I want to do this. Daniel did it. Hence, dare to be a Daniel. Now remember, one of the most dangerous words in the English language is the word tomorrow. The idea is, I'll do it, but tomorrow. And tomorrow was one of my favorite words. Now I kind of pushed the envelope. I didn't just settle for tomorrow. I went with later, because my mom would ask me to do something, and I won't disagree with her. My sister would fight her. My sister was very bold. If she did not agree with what my mom said, she would let us know, and face to face. All I would say was, "Okay, mom, I'll do it later." I just kind of dodged the bullet. I was so wicked, because later. Or tomorrow is so subtle. That's how Satan's MO is. Where you don't disagree with it. Yeah, I'll live for the Lord. I'll just do it later. Yeah, I'll get saved. You know, I agree. Getting saved is good. You got to get saved. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'll just do it later. And if you just put it off, it's the same as not doing it. So it's a very subtle way. And so don't let your flesh do that. Your flesh wants to do it later. Your flesh wants to do it tomorrow. When we challenge ourselves to take the Daniel challenge, just be strong and do it. Do it. That's what David said to Solomon. Be strong and do it. God said it before Nike, right? Just do it. And so it's, how do we take the Daniel challenge? How do we become like Daniel by doing what he does? Well, it starts with our, no surprise, our what? Heart, our ticker. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. So we're going to be in Daniel for a while now. Because I want us to observe this. Before Daniel does what he does on the outside, it's a reflection of his inside, his heart. And so let's go to Daniel chapter 1 here. Daniel chapter 1. And yes, we know that he declined the king's meat and drink. But why did he do it? Let's go to verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It starts with a heart. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel didn't want to be defiled. He didn't want to be contaminated. Okay? Now, which part of Daniel is a big question. Which part of Daniel did he not want to defile? Did he not want to defile his testimony? Like he thought, oh, I don't know if I should eat what the king is eating with everyone else. What will mom and dad think? I don't think they want me to do that. Or maybe his reputation. You know, I have other friends and family that are slaving away in the Babylonian encampment, you know, and what would they think of me if I'm just living it up and eating the king's meat? Maybe it was his diet. Maybe he just wasn't a meat guy. No, I don't think it was that. I think what Daniel did not want to defile was his heart. Meaning, he wanted his heart to be pure and loyal to God. Remember what Jesus says years later. Jesus says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. Is what comes what? Out. Because what comes out, all those sins, where are they birthed? In the heart. And so Daniel did not want to tempt his heart. Because if he indulged in his flesh and ate of the king's meat and drank the king's wine, he was afraid. Now he knows what he eats is not going to defile him. He's not going to eat it. Oh, now I'm not saved. No, it's not that. He knows he's a child of God. But it can pull his heart away from God, and he didn't want to be defiled that way. He wanted his heart to love only God. He wanted his joy and contentment to come only from God, and so he didn't want to do that because then that might defile my heart. I might not do what I ought to be doing, you know. And so that was his purpose. It starts with his heart. He remembers. He knows that he's a child of God. In fact, when he was taken into exile, they even tried to rebrand him. They called him a new name, right? If you look at me with verse 7, they give him a new name even. Now, this is part of their overall scheme to reprogram and repurpose these young men. says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Then the rest of his friends got Babylonian names as well. But Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. In fact, again, this is how they want to, over 3 years, they assimilate you to the Babylonian way of life, okay? In fact, if you go with me to chapter 2, verse 26, I mean, these are just examples of how it played out during his time there in captivity. And go to chapter 2, verse 26. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Okay, so he's conversing with him. Go to chapter 4 with me. Chapter 4, and then verse 8 and 9 says, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. So his name of the Babylonian God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, oh, what does he call him? Doesn't call him Daniel. Calls him his Babylonian name. Oh, Belteshazzar. Okay, so this is how he's addressed. Go with me to verse 18. Same chapter, verse 18. This dream, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, oh, Belteshazzar, he keeps calling him by his Babylonian name. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, this is how he was always addressed. No matter where he turned, everyone was calling him, you know, his name tag says Belteshazzar, his business card says Belteshazzar. If you go with me to chapter 10, now fast forward, this is 2 kings later. And so this is the third king after Nebuchadnezzar. And so this is actually about 69 years later. Okay, it's a long time later, almost at the end of the 70-year, you know, exile period. So chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And so his name has always been called Belteshazzar since he was exiled. But Daniel never forgot who he was. By the way, his name Daniel means God, Jehovah, is my judge. Not any one of these heathen kings. God alone is my judge. If you go with me to chapter 10, verse 11. Daniel's in a trance, in a vision, and he's praying. And then God calls him. God speaks to him. And notice how God calls Daniel. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel. That's awesome. The enemy tried to call him Belteshazzar, but God calls him Daniel, a man greatly beloved. In fact, if you go with me to verse 2, thankfully, Daniel refers to himself as Daniel, even though everyone else calls him Belteshazzar. Look at verse 2 of chapter 10. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Wouldn't it be sad, you know, if he referred to himself as Belteshazzar? Now, I kind of go off the deep end in my movie mind, and I'm thinking maybe his friends say, wait, don't you call Daniel? Daniel's dead. Call me Belteshazzar. No, you know, the idea is, you know, they want to reprogram him, okay, and get him to go the way of the world, to think like a Babylonian thinks, to love and like what they do, to worship and believe what they do. That was their plan, okay? So what did Daniel do that we should follow, right? That we should be like Daniel, take the Daniel challenge. Again, number one, Daniel denied his flesh. Literally, he did not feed his flesh the king's meat or drink the king's wine. Now, the king's meat and the king's wine, you can picture it today as worldly pleasures. Okay, worldly pleasures. Now, you can say, well, it's not inherently bad. No, it's not. But be careful we don't defile our heart. The idea is, if I abstain or maybe just cut down some of my enjoyment from the world, not saying it's bad. Now, it's sin, obviously don't do it. Sin, we should not sin, okay? But here's the thing. As a child of God, who should be our greatest joy? God. As a Christian, who should be your all-sufficient, who gives you all your contentment? Who fulfills you? God. Now, if I'm indulging in my, even my, I don't know, my favorite TV show, and all I do is just watch it all week. Now, yes, you can say TV shows aren't inherently evil. Okay, I get that. But if I'm not careful, I can defile my heart where I'm not getting as much joy from my Lord as he wants me to. For the Daniel challenge, for 10 days, maybe we can abstain from. And this is hard because I love food. I love spicy. So, you know, maybe our favorite things, our favorite things that are not God, let's tone down for 10 days. Can we do it? Can we do it? I mean, Daniel ate beans and water. I'm like, oh, man. Maybe he'll soak them in water. He'll boil them in water. He'll steam them in water. Maybe he can kind of mix it up that way, but it's just beans and water. But the idea is he didn't want to indulge in the king's meat because he knows how his heart is. So that's part one for the challenge, okay? So whatever I love, whatever you love that's not God, let's tone it down a bit. Can we do that for 10 days? Let's try that. Number two, Daniel fasted. This goes hand in hand with that, okay? Not only did he not eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine and settle for pulse and water, there would be times he didn't even have the pulse. Wow. In fact, if you look at verse 2, Daniel 10, verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And now we certainly don't have to be fasting for 3 weeks. We don't even have to be fasting for 10 days. But if we can purpose to be like Daniel and fast within those 10 days, maybe just pick a random day. Fast half a meal, fast one meal, fast half a day, fast one full day, whatever you like, whatever you feel inclined to do, but do something. Do something that you otherwise don't. And again, I'm preaching to myself because I love food. I'm one of those guys that live to eat. I don't eat to live. I enjoy it. You know, I smell it. I savor it. I take photos. Okay. I'm a big foodie guy. I take photos so that when I'm not eating, I can just look at it like, that was good. I'm just saying. Okay. And so too much of my heart is taken by things that are not God, right? And when we fast, it literally denies the flesh, because you're literally not giving it what it craves. It shows the flesh who's boss, right? Because our spirit needs to lead the flesh. So we can fast like Daniel did, deny the flesh of earthly pleasures. Daniel, of course, Daniel prayed. We know this one. Of course, he's known for a man of prayer. So let's go to Daniel 6. Now, as this Daniel bar seems to go higher, 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 just say this, by the grace of God. And it's only 10 days. Okay, it's only 10 days. We can try this. So Daniel chapter 6. And let's go to verse 10. Of course, we know this when prayer was outlawed. So it was legally illegal to pray. It was the law of the land. And by the way, it was only for 30 days. If you look at verse 7, only for 30 days you couldn't pray. But even then, Daniel was not okay not praying. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. By the way, he was not just praying because he wanted to. He wanted to, but it was also a commandment by God that whenever Israel, because of their sin, gets exiled and taken away and captive by another heathen country, God wants them to pray towards Jerusalem. So he's doing it now. He's not going to quit. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, meaning that was his habit. He always did that. When man says you can't pray, that's not going to stop him. Okay, he's going to pray because God wants him to pray, and is praying to his God. Then no one's going to stop him. He might get in trouble for it. He sure did. But that's going to be point number 4. But may we challenge ourselves to pray 3 times a day. Let's do that. Doesn't have to be an hour-long prayer each time. If you like to, praise God. But when you wake up, middle of the day, end of the day, that's 10 days. We can do this, right? Church, can we do this for 10 days? Do the Daniel challenge. Pray in the morning. By the way, if you pray for me, that'd be awesome. Oh, now we want to do. What if we pray for you? Who wants someone to pray for you 3 times a day? Like, oh, yeah, make it 10. So pray for one another. Praise God. Glorify God. In fact, David wrote this in Psalm 55:17. David says, evening, morning, and noon, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, godly saints do this. They pray at least 3 times a day. Do it. So Daniel challenge, deny the flesh, fast, pray 3 times a day, no matter what. And then, of course, we know what happened to Daniel. Because he kept praying, he got busted. And the punishment for praying was to be cast into the den of lions, right, was death. So may we pray no matter what. But Number four, Daniel believed God, no matter what. So let's go to Daniel chapter, same chapter 6, but verse 23. Notice, of course, we know Daniel in the lion's den. We all know the story. He's not harmed. And, of course, the king gets him the next day. And, of course, he's okay. But look at what Daniel says in verse 23, because this is going to be our fourth way that we can be like Daniel. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt, wow, no manner, not even a scratch, was found upon him because he believed in his God. It was his faith that kept him. Because the Bible says very clearly, because he believed, not because the lions were sleepy or not hungry, it was because he believed in his God. God shut the mouth of the lions. And so here's the challenge for you and I. For the next 10 days, let's do this. Let's believe in God no matter what. If you end up in some lion's den, in quotes, okay, maybe you're going to the zoo, stay away from the lions, okay, but I'm just saying, if no matter what circumstance, no matter how extreme, no matter how scary, no matter how no way out, no matter how hopeless, for the next 10 days, let's purpose to believe in God no matter what. Just trust Him. Trust Him. And whether it comes to the result that we want or not, just trust the Lord with all our heart. Lead not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, let us acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. For the next 10 days, let's abstain, or maybe severely limit our worldly pleasures. Don't indulge. One thing about Daniel, he never indulged in his flesh. Think about it this way. If you were Daniel's flesh, you had a very miserable life. Because he never gave in to you. If you were Daniel's flesh, you're like, hey, let's go. Nope, all of this. Eventually, just quit asking. I'm just saying, if you were Daniel's spirit, he fed you all the time. And so, don't indulge in our flesh. Daniel fed and cleaved to his spirit. Fast, pray no matter what, at least 3 times a day. And then what's last? Oh, believe in God. Yes, believe in God no matter what. Even if we are in a den of lions and there's no way out, you know, the light is closed, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you're in a dark cave, no way out, lions with you. I mean, kind of thing. Just trusting God no matter what for 10 days. Now, after 10 days, what's going to happen? Let's go back to chapter 1 of Daniel. Chapter 1, and then we'll kind of wrap it up here. Chapter 1, and let's go to verse 15. Daniel chapter 1, verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, this applies to Daniel physically, but not even me guarantee you. The Word of God promises us, if we feed the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we purpose to serve God and draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. And so God is telling us, if we do this, even for just 10 days, at the end of 10 days, our spirit will be fairer, more beautiful, fatter in the sense it's more wholesome, more healthy. Okay, the idea that it's not emaciated, it's not scrawny. Okay, it's robust, our spirit. Because how is the health of our spirit? If we did a spirit wellness, you know, how will it be? Just for 10 days. Now, even if you can't do 10 days, doesn't matter. Just do, I don't know, do the Daniel Jr. challenge. 2 days. How about me? I'll do 1 day first. Let's do 1 day. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, I want to pray 3 times. I want to get rid of those, or at least severely, you know, the worldly enjoyments that I get. And pray and believe in God no matter what. Just do it for 1 day. Do it 2 days. Do it for 3 days. And see how it changes our walk with God. Dare to be a Daniel. In other words, not so much about daring to do what he does, but daring to be like Daniel, because it will transform our relationship with God. And God will be so real to us, we're like, oh man! You know, it would transform our relationship and walk with God. Let us purpose to do that. Take the Daniel challenge. Amen. By God's grace, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Help me to dare to be a Daniel. Lord, help us to be mindful of prayer, fasting, faith, to believe in you no matter what, to deny the flesh. Lord, too easy for us as Christians, Lord, we look for outlets that can give us enjoyment that's not inherently evil, that we can find. We try to find a loophole in your holiness. That's not the point. Lord, we want our all-sufficiency, we want our joy to be you. Help us to help me to be the best Christian that I can be, Lord, the best husband, the best father, the best son, Lord, the best person, the best prayer warrior, the best witness, the best laborer, even for just 10 days, Lord. Help me to be all that you want me to be. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And so every